Hello, I'm Mike Moen with WNIJ News. Alongside me is Chuck Sweeney of the Rockford Register-Star. And on the line with us is 16th District Congressman Adam Kinzinger.
Our focus today is on economic development, and I know you've talked quite a lot about that in, mm-hmm. in meetings that I've seen you and at others with local businesses and manufacturers. But one question that's on my mind with the sequester and with the shrinkage of funds available, do you think there is going to be a federal role at all for economic development, or should we begin preparing to do everything by ourselves?
Well, look, I think there needs to be a federal role to an extent, kind of a light touch, and that light touch is creating a free and a fair environment for the free market to flourish. Understanding the federal government plays a role in infrastructure. I believe the federal government plays a role to an extent in funding equalization for education so the kids have an opportunity. And then the other big thing is, you know, look, science, innovation, research, this is something that the federal government has got to play a role in. I mean, America has always been, really in the last, since World War II, leading countries all around the world in terms of innovation and science, and I think we've struck a good balance there. So I want to see less government, of course. I want to see government reduce its size, but I don't want to see government go away in terms of what it can do for the economy, because it can create opportunities and options and again, just an environment for that free market to get out there and flourish.
In the current situation where it seems like the two parties are more at odds than I've seen them before, some of the things that you talk about and other Republicans is changing taxation so that it incentivizes businesses to invest here instead of abroad, mm-hmm. keeping money, bringing money, profits back here as opposed to keeping them somewhere else in the world. Can anything like that get done?
I think I'm optimistic because, you know, I think that there's actually a pretty decent shot, you know, pretty decent in terms of, since we're in a divided government, a pretty decent shot of getting something done this year. Maybe it's part of the debt limit deal in the end, maybe not. But I think there's some desire. Now, of course, once we decide on an outline for tax reform, you know, we'll probably do battle in terms of what deductions stay, what don't, all that kind of stuff. But that's part of governing. So, I mean, if you look at it right now, so we have a high corporate tax rate of 35%, the highest in the free world. But really, 9 out of 10 businesses actually file as subchapter S, pass-through entities, which means they're actually paying the individual tax rate, which is now upwards of 44%. On top of that, state taxes. So we've made our manufacturing and our business less competitive. So we've got to bring that down. And then on the overseas issue, I've heard estimates of multiple trillions of dollars right now sitting overseas that's been taxed, you know, by the government that they're in, which is understandable. The Germans tax, you know, whatever, 20% on what our companies overseas make. But then they want to bring that money back here to the United States to reinvest. But under our current arcane tax system, we're going to tax them 35%. So they're going to take a 35% haircut on top of what they've already paid just to reinvest in the United States. So instead what they do is they reinvest in Germany and they reinvest overseas. So I think if we can get that situation to what's called a territorial tax system, which is what I'm describing, where you pay the local taxes and you can bring the money back, we would see a stimulus in this country like I don't think we've seen in quite a while.
Congressman, when you look across the 16th district, you've got some diversity when it comes to economic strength. You've got Rockford, a city now thriving on aerospace manufacturing. You've got DeKalb, a university town. You've got Rochelle, which is a transportation hub. How do these factors work together when it comes to economic development for the region?
It's actually just an amazing way everything's kind of been brought together. So if you look at that, you mentioned DeKalb, and you mentioned, you know, the colleges in the Rockford area. They work to produce a workforce that can go to this jobs, whether it's in aerospace, whether it's in agriculture, whether it's in Rochelle at the huge, you know, intermodal and transportation center area that's being built there, and Nippon Sharyo and everything else. All this kind of works together synergistically to ensure that we're able to build the people here at home, to educate them here at home, and to ensure that we are making ourselves competitive to keep our youth here at home versus exporting them. And, you know, what we've been seeing, unfortunately, out of Illinois and out of the Rockford area is one of our chief exports is our youth. People will go to college somewhere else, or They'll get their college and they'll go live somewhere else. And we can be competitive again. And frankly, I've been impressed by how I've seen that start to turn around. I think Rockford, the Rockford area, you know, as you mentioned, DeKalb, Rochelle, is really making some positive strides such that when the state of Illinois gets its act together, when the economy in general turns around, I think we're going to be very well positioned to reap the benefits of that.
And while we have some larger communities spread across the district, there are many smaller ones. How do they fit into the picture in trying to lure and retain businesses?
Well, look, smaller communities have a very tough go of it. We've seen, you know, school districts disappear. We've seen smaller towns basically, you know, losing a lot of their tax base and in essence kind of turning upside down. But I think there's a real charm to the small town. So, you know, you look down, for instance, in LaSalle County, in the area of the smaller town of Mendota, you know, you have a lot of big industries down there that are really, whether it's Del Monte and everything else. So I think small communities, small towns, every small town, every small community has some kind of a manufacturing or some kind of a business that everybody works at or everybody knows somebody who works at, and it plays into the bigger part of the economy. So, and, of course, small towns usually are big driver and big recipients of rural and agriculture, and agriculture is very important to the 16th District.
In this area, there's been a lot of parochialism. One community doesn't think of itself as part of a region.
Mm-hmm.
And just one of my observations, Congressman, is I think that, you know, we have to think regionally to, you know, build an economy where if a company is going to come to Rochelle, I mean, that benefits everybody. What is your observation? As a new congressman to this particular part of the state, do you think there's a sense of regionalism, or are people pretty compartmentalized?
Well, I think there's a growing sense of regionalism. As you mentioned, Chuck, I think people are coming to this understanding. Look, in 1950, 1960, you know, small communities could compete against each other because, frankly, business was good. There was going to be a lot of industry. You know, everybody had a big car, and they could eat out whenever they wanted, and, you know, white picket fence and the whole nine yards. Now it's a little tougher, and the economy is difficult. So what we have to do is, again, get, like you said, get Rockford, get Rockton, get, you know, Rochelle, get all these places to understand that. And here's a great example, the Rockford Airport. The Rockford Airport doesn't just benefit the city of Rockford. The Rockford Airport benefits everybody. I was just out there a couple days ago meeting with the executive director and chatting about, you know, what's the future of the airport, how do you see it? And as I was leaving, there were members of a local county board that was not Winnebago County coming in to meet with him as well. And it's this idea that they understand, and I chatted with them outside, they understand that the Rockford Airport is extremely important to their economy as well. So I think it's growing, and I think it needs to continue to grow, this idea that we're all in this fight together.
You know, we've talked about the strengths and some of the regional approach to making the 16th District attractive to the business community. What do you see as the key challenges? And you've mentioned a couple, but what do you see as the key challenges and maybe even some weaknesses for the 16th District when it comes to economic development?
Well, it's cold, but the cold has nothing to do with it, because if you look north of us in Wisconsin, Wisconsin's growing in a big way. To the west, it's growing. To the east, to the south, it's just we're not. And I think our biggest challenge to the 16th, frankly, is the state government. I think the state government in Springfield, if this was a Republican, I'd say the exact same thing. The state government is flawed. I've talked to a lot of, frankly, business leaders who have looked at Illinois as a place to invest, it ultimately made the decision not to. And the big question of why, and they said, because we don't know what's going to happen with the pension. The unfunded pension liability is so huge, it could threaten to take the economy down more. So I think our biggest challenge, frankly, is this idea that the state government is not trustworthy, it's behind on its debt. And a company that's looking to locate somewhere and sees this picture thinks, well, boy, are you telling me the second I locate in Illinois, they're probably going to jack our taxes up, because they have to, and we can't plan on that, and we can't afford it. So I really think the state government's our biggest challenge. I think if you look at the whole 16th district, I mean, driving from one end to the other takes 4.5 hours, and it's almost entirely on the highway. It's very diverse, very different. You know, the people in the southern part of the district, though, want to have jobs. They love their family, just like folks in the northern part of the district. So we're all in this fight together. But it's amazing just the different industries and everything else we have going for us.
Yeah, I remember when I came down to cover a debate that you were having in the primary. Where the heck did I get to? Where am I?
You had a sense of bewilderment in your eyes.
Yeah, what town was that anyway?
It was Watseka.
Watseka, yep. Yes. But yeah, that is a big district to cover. How would, you know, what's life? I mean, you have to try and relate to the whole district. What would economic development be to Watseka?
It's the same thing you'd see anywhere else. Watseka is, you know, it's a small city, maybe 5,000 to 8,000 people, and it suffered the same thing. I grew up, and I have relatives that live in Watseka. I was born right near there, but you know, they've had the big factories that have left. They had the big tool shop that, you know, used to be there and isn't anymore. But, you know, a good thing Watseka has going for it is it's a lot of the folks that live there are farmers. And we all know that agriculture, for now at least, is doing very well. But it always is a threat that, you know, that could turn around on its head. So, yeah, economic development to Watseka. They'd love to see more manufacturing come their way. But, you know, unfortunately, one of the difficulties we see is manufacturing now likes to put itself by an interstate or by a transfer or, like, you know, Franklin Airport, like Rockford's, because they can cut down on the cost of creating a good if they can get it on the road quicker.
One of the ways that the federal government has been helpful to this area and most areas in the country is through transportation funding. Mm-hmm. And I think we had a 2-year extension of the surface transportation bill. But we used to have routine 5-year, 6-year transportation bills, so contractors and highway commissioners and people that build things would know what the funding would be. Do you think we're going to be able to get back that kind of situation?
Well, look, one of the difficulties we've had now is back in the day, you know, the gas tax, which goes entirely to highway, the gas tax was sufficient. You know, we were charging, you know, people made less money than they do today just because of inflation, but the gas tax has remained constant. So it's the same exact in real dollars as it was 20 years ago. The cost of materials with time have gone up. People are actually getting better gas mileage, which is a good thing, but it means that people are buying less gasoline, which is a good thing. But, of course, we're seeing taxes go down because of that. We've got to, I think, radically rethink how we do funding of our highways. One of the ideas that we floated, because if we get the funding, if we get the revenue side taken care of, the funding, it's not going to be a problem to get a 5-year bill out. There's not a whole lot of disagreement usually in the principles of these bills, like transportation funding, but right now the problem we have is there's just the money's not there. So I think we have to have an honest conversation with the American people. We have to talk about the fact that the gas tax has stayed the same for 20 years. We have to talk about other options for funding. You know, do you want more tollways? Do you want a tracker on your car that tracks your mileage and bills you? So, and then, but the other one is, you know, we've passed a bill, and unfortunately hasn't gone anywhere, that would open up federal lands to drilling and would take all those royalties from the drilling and put it right into the trust fund. And we've actually seen that the amount of money we would get from royalties on federal lands would far exceed what we'd even need for transportation. But regardless, yeah, we have to have a serious conversation because we're seeing our bridges and our roadways deteriorate beyond what a first-rate country should.
Yeah, another thing that I've noticed in the past few days is the Environmental Protection Agency in Washington has asserted the right to make big changes in how we do things as far as carbon emissions, and business people that I've talked to are deathly afraid of that, saying it could put people out of business. What's going to happen on that? Do you think that the federal administrative branch has the legality to be able to do things like that?
Well, I would say no. But, you know, the president does have flexibility with executive orders, with how agency interprets regulations. In Congress, our job is to oversee that and call it out. The problem is, you know, we have just as Republicans, we have just the House of Representatives. Harry Reid is not interested in calling out an administration that he agrees with. And So from our position, we can have hearings. You know, we could even potentially sue in federal court, which we've done. But ultimately, you have to have a president that respects the role of congressional oversight, and I frankly don't think we've had that. And so, yeah, the EPA is growing. The president said in his first campaign, you know, he basically wants to wage a war against coal, and he said it in basically those terms. And we're seeing that happen, and, you know, despite the clean coal technologies we have. And so, and you see that again in his reluctance to accept something so important as the Keystone Pipeline. But, you know, I'll continue out here as a congressman to do everything I can for oversight and to call that to question. But as far as where it goes from here, I'm unsure.
Congressman, when you look at communities like Rockford, and we talked about this a little bit earlier about how it's doing well when it comes to aerospace manufacturing, but some of the employers in communities like Rockford say there's a little bit of a skills gap. They sure have job openings, but they need more skilled workers in some of these communities. Is that something you have observed in various parts of the district, and what do you think should be done to address that skills gap?
Well, I can't say I've necessarily observed it, but I've talked to a lot of businesses that tell me this, and they're the experts in this, and so I have to agree. You know, I hear a lot of folks in the Rockford area that say, we have open positions today. The problem is we don't have people with the skills. And so I think the Rockford area, frankly, has led the state and maybe even led the nation in terms of how to rethink education. So a kid that's a sophomore in high school, what's wrong with introducing him to manufacturing them and showing him a world that's out there? It's not like it was in the 40s with, you know, when you think of the dirty factories and everything else. This is a high-skilled, great-paying job situation that's going on in manufacturing now. How about introduce a kid to that? The kid may very well say, I don't like it. I don't want to go into manufacturing, and that's his or her right. But they may also say, wow, this is kind of neat, and find themselves in a position where maybe they get an internship through college. Maybe that company helps pay for their college, and they go for an engineering degree. And then we find, again, that instead of exporting that young person to, you know, Alabama or Texas, we're now keeping them here in the Rockford area, and they're able to raise a family and pay taxes and get a good-paying job right here.
Well, that's an excellent idea. In fact, the Rockford Public Schools, they're focusing all their high schools on career readiness to do exactly that, introduce kids to possible careers out there, because a lot of times what we find is that kids go through high school, they have no idea what's available in their own community.
Yeah, and, that's right.
And this is doing just what you suggested, and
yep.
I think if we could get that going everywhere, it would help excite kids that, oh, I could do this if
yep.
only I learned this, you know.
It's a mild version of how Germany educates. So Germany actually kind of forces kids into a track, and they do it, I believe, too early. And, you know, everybody ages, they, you know, have different, I mean, I didn't necessarily want to be a congressman or even a military pilot when I was 16, but what they have done is in the Rockford area that I've seen that's been great is finding that idea of, you know, giving kids the option of a track after high school that's not just going to college for a liberal arts degree and then figuring out what you want to do with your life. That's what we see right now is, and I almost did the same thing myself. You go to college, you get your liberal arts degree, and then you try to figure out what you want to do with your life after you've already spent, $100,000.
Hey, that's me, too.
I know, it's all of us, I think.
But college was a lot cheaper in those days
when I went to it.
Well, listen, anything you want to add that we didn't ask?
No, you know, look, I'll add this. It truly, and I mean this, it's an honor to represent the district. It's always fun to talk about this stuff because I think it's just – I don't think people necessarily know what the 16th District has in it, how huge of a role we play in both the economy and our country, whether it's nuclear power. I mean, we have the most nuclear power plants of any district in the country. I get excited talking about it. It's an honor to represent it, and I'm hopefully able to do it another 2 years.
Thank you very much for talking to us. We'll catch you soon, either here or there.
Sounds great.
Okay.
Care,
thanks.
Thank you, Congressman.
See ya.